on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day rugby fans, this is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show talking all things rugby league from around the globe. Now as always we have the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, alongside the little general Luke Robinson. Hey, the world is back in order, boys. I said Leon before Luke.
Thank you. Respect.
Yeah, I like the other way, I think.
Do you?
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Well, I reckon the only way we're really going to get this sorted out is there's two men enters, one man leaves.
He's got the biggest height difference in
there. The length.
He'll just be picking me off like...
low centre of gravity, though. Get underneath the jabs and, you know, take him off his feet.
I tried that other year with Richie Moore. He just grabbed hold of me like a little kid. He was hitting me and I was swinging my arms.
Yeah, well, Richie Moore is a monster. He's a monster. Now, joining us a little bit later in the show, we'll have Bradford Bulls new Aussie signing Kieran Moss. Mossy will be with us here this evening. And tonight, the Bradford Bulls have launched their charity Armed Forces shirt. In support of Armed Forces charity, Scotty's Little Soldiers, this charity is set up to support the children and their families of fallen British soldiers. We are lucky enough to have secured one of these new shirts and we'll be running a competition to win one of these shirts. So to find out how to win, just go on pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab. And you'll be able to find out how you can get your hands on that exclusive shirt. So, without further ado, this is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
Good evening, boys.
Evening, all.
Evening.
How's it going? Man, we gave you a week off last week. It was just the best of. Actually, you two were supposed to step in. You were supposed to step in and run the show.
I was ready to go.
And you bottled it.
I didn't.
I got a message off Robbie saying, look, let's cancel the show. If I'm not on, you shouldn't get played. That's what he said.
I got a message saying the show is not on tonight. So I don't know what happened to Ewan.
Well, yeah, what we want you to do, Leon, is grasp by the scruff of the neck.
I told you
it
the week
before.
It could
be nothing but freak of nature all night long.
I told you the week before we were ready to rock and roll.
But it wasn't we, because I got a message from Robbo, and he was just like, mate, I'm under the pressure. The pressure is just too much for me. I can't step up to your greatness.
It were I think they put me on a first aid course at the Huddersfield Jackets. So
how to put on a plaster.
I was literally just blowing into a rubber doll all night.
And that's a normal Saturday night. We did the show on a Wednesday night, mate, not Saturday. So how's it been? Freaking mate, Leon, you run your do a couple of weekends ago off the chain, as I understand. It was brilliant. One minute, as I understand, I was there.
He was there, mate. He was there.
I was living the dream. I'd gone back 15 years.
Yeah, we just had a great time, didn't we? A great night. It's a bit hard by all down at Casa. Just had a really good, enjoyable night. Everybody had really good fun, so it went really well. More than expected.
I mean,
better than expected, should I say.
Bit of a headache leading up to it. Obviously, your first event that you run like that, but exciting. You had a saxophonist playing alongside a DJ. We didn't have that back in the day.
No, but you got to mix the current with the old, didn't you?
Oh, I see. I'm out of touch.
I was just mixing. You know, that's kind of the big thing around the Leeds club scene now, is a saxophonist, the big Ibiza scene. So mix the old with the current and see what people think.
Oh, well, I got to admit, this person over here, it was right on my street. Good music, good people, and good fun.
I really enjoyed it, and we're going to do another one. So,
oh, yeah. Okay, all right. Well, put me down. I hope I'm on the guest list.
Guest list VIP.
You start charging again. Tight is Leon. Robbo, your testimonial, how are we getting on with that, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. I had a donkey derby.
What's a donkey derby?
Well, I didn't know what a donkey derby was myself, and being a bit daft, I turned up. You had to basically buy a donkey. And they turned
you
all the cards.
You literally went out and bought a donkey.
There's a few at this field at the moment in Park.
They're across the whole Super League, the Championship, National League One, donkeys as far as... they coach the Super League. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. But no, donkey derby, so just basically full of fun. You know, you basically buy... Everyone's betting. They have a mock-up bookies in the corner. You put a couple of quid on. There's a lot of names of donkeys that I can't really repeat on here, if I'm being honest. But yeah, it's a good deal. You know, it's a good deal when you pretty much wake up, you turn to your wife and just say, "How do we get home? Where's all his merchandise?
Where's all his money? Where's all the grass?
Where is everything?"
that's every Friday and Saturday night for you and your wife again, isn't it?
Pretty much.
we enjoyed the Pulse Awards night as well, wasn't it? Great night out. Loaded, very positive for the whole community once again.
Oh,
and fantastic that that Lizzie was able to pick up that I think what was it, inspirational West Yorkshire Person of the Year. Brilliant.
Yeah, which has been amazing, is Lizzie. And do you know what it is? I thought she was stalking me, because obviously with my testimony, I've been going to a lot of these dinners and she's at every one. We seem to be sitting next to each other all the time at the moment. So I think she's fed up of me, really. You know, obviously, my jokes are pretty good, but after you've heard them once or twice, they get a little bit boring. So I think she had enough of me. But no, amazing. Obviously, it's everything that's happened to you. A lot of times, it's not what happens to you in your life. It's about how you react to it. And I think, you know, she's just been so inspirational, the way she's reacted, really. And she's setting such a great example for her two children. I think it's an amazing story, what she's trying to create.
You're 100% right there. I think the whole rugby league world and beyond was touched by what happened to Danny Jones, obviously last year when he had the heart attack and he passed away. But the reaction that Lizzie's had in actually spinning it into something extremely positive. She's worked with the RFL. She's been able to put new policies and procedures in place for cardiac screening. Beyond that, she's now trying to push it into schools as well. The impact that will have from a negative into a positive is why she's been given that inspirational Person of the Year title.
Yeah, I think so. She's trying to create a legacy. She says she didn't want to do it to die in vain, basically. You know, and what's amazing is when you actually spend time with her and with the family, it's how much they talk about Danny. They want his memory to live on. They want his kids. They want something to be there for the kids to see. And it's amazing, really, because every other story is something that they bring up something about him. And, you know, sometimes when people pass away, you kind of shy away from talking about the deceased.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to bring it up, but they make a conscious effort to talk about him in pretty much every conversation. It's amazing what she's doing.
But a great night around. Also, everybody had a lot of fun. Griffo's on his way home now. Griffo was in fine form as well. First time I've seen Griffo let his hair down, so to speak. Brilliant to see all the Pulse 1 and Pulse 2 stars letting their hair down and enjoying themselves. Got to be careful what I say, because they're all upstanding members of the community here.
It was good fun. Yeah,
well,
that good a night, that much free wine going on. I actually left half my clothes on anyone. You pick up, you got my jacket on, anyway. Just to make sure you got my jacket.
I did see that in the group. I mean, me and you obviously were retired and we went along to the event. When they asked Leon, he said he was too important.
Yeah, too big time.
You know me. Still same old G.
Hey, if it's not a karma event, he's not going.
I'll be there next time. I had a game next day, guys. Come on.
If there's not a brown paper bag on it. Hey, if there was a brown paper bag put under the table, would you be jumped in on that?
What for my sandwiches?
Well, I took a week off last week, went on holiday. You guys ever been to Cineparks?
Yeah. Expensive for me.
I have, but I will never go again because it's too expensive. You can go abroad for the charge,
isn't
that?
It?
A grand to go into your own country. I could have gone to Turkey for a week, all inclusive for that. No chance, Cineparks. Well, overpriced.
I did go to one of the bowling alleys that they've got at the Cineparks, and I went and asked for a kid's water, little water bottle. Tiny, it's not even, and water's for free. Yep. £2.
Yes, yeah, it's just a joke.
£2.
Bit expensive.
But I got to say this as well. Cineparks is not a place to have a holiday.
No.
That's exercise.
Yes. It's just like being at home, but a little bit further away from people, like being in England. Yeah,
which isn't always a bad thing. But
yeah, it's not, but come on, for a grand.
No, well, what I was concerned about was the amount of energy that I expended over the course. My son's only 2 years of age, but they've got that many activities. You're running from pillar to post.
Well, did you do biking? You do scuba diving? You can do everything, can't
cycling,
you?
Cycling, but he can't cycle, so no. I'm having to drag him
you
around
put him
everywhere.
On the back. You put him on
put
the
him
back.
Put him on the back, yeah, and, yeah. You know, and he's starting to put on some timber now.
But more importantly, did you have a good time?
Big smiles. I got him in. More importantly, he had a good time.
That's all that matters, isn't
he
it?
He loved it. He it's absolutely loved it. And we took our nephew with us as well. And it's a little bit older than Sebastian, and he was over the moon as well. So
you know the saying, Rob, don't you? Happy wife, happy life.
That's right.
There you go, brother.
I think everyone's agreeing with that in the studio right here.
It's true.
We all agree with that. But if you want to pick a holiday destination, what's your preferred? Leon, obviously, you are over in Catalan, and that was basically 3 years on holday anyway. So
paid, you only get back holiday, to the real paid, world. 3 years paid holiday.
Paid holiday.
Joke,
yeah, it wasn't
joking,
a grand
guys.
There. Robert, what do you
forgot,
reckon?
I forgot what's... we're on radio. I forgot we're live on radio.
What was your, preferred holiday
I'll
destination?
I'll be honest, I should say, you know, when we were family and kids and all that, but I'm going to listen. I went on a lad's trip to Vegas last year, and that was pretty good, I'll be honest.
Now mate, that's a holiday,
especially when it was my best friend, actually. Proposed to his missus, so wedding's all going ahead, and then we all booked to go on his stag do, and then a month before we'd all booked, cancelled his wedding.
Beautiful.
So we all went on a stag do to Vegas.
It's not funny.
That wanted an actual stag do, amazing.
Basically, it's the big party.
The big party. Yeah. So we just need one of my other mates to do it every year now.
Wicked, man.
Was it like the hangover? Do you have any experiences like that?
Wake up,
you can't find your mate and go looking for him? What goes on tour, stays on tour?
There's a lot of that going on there, yes.
Las Vegas is a place that I want to go to, but my missus has said to me that I can't go with the boys. I have to go with her.
Put your foot down then.
I'm scared of her.
Yeah, put your foot down. You listen,
sir. Robbie
Don't
Hunter
ever
Paul.
Let a woman tell
Paul.
You what you can and can't do.
I actually missed my first one. My stag do was to go to Vegas. Yes. And I got picked, for England, so my mates went to Vegas without me. And they just kept ringing me up, telling me what they were doing every night. I was sat in this hotel and thinking, God, I wish I were there.
Facebook pictures, the work. All right, up next, we'll be speaking to Bradford Bull's new boy, Kieran Moss. All that and more right up here next on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, talking nothing but rugby league for the rest of the hour. Tonight, the Bradford Bulls have launched their charity Armed Forces shirt in support of the Armed Forces charity, Scotty's Little Soldier. This charity is set up to support the children and families of fallen British soldiers. And we have one of their shirts. So to find out how you can get your hands on that, just go to pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab. All right, the Bradford Bulls have been making moves over the last couple of days. Yesterday, they announced that they've got the service of Lewis Charnock from St. Helens, a halfback. But last week, we announced that we secured the services of another talented Australian youngster, none other than Kieran Moss. And we have Mossy in the studio. Round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. And like most Aussies, they're frightened when they first come to Australia, to Pommyland, as they call it. So they travel in groups and in tribes. We've also got Shane, new strength and conditioning coach at the Bradford Bulls. So a round of applause for Shane also. Mossy, how's it going, buddy?
Good. Bit nervous, actually. Never been on radio before, so...
Haven't you?
Nah.
You're a radio virgin. Oh, cool. Mate, as it goes, you just... as long as you don't get the... Because obviously I'm CEO at the Bradford Bulls. As long... You can say whatever you want as long as you don't get the club into trouble. Outside of that, I'm cool. Get yourself into trouble with your mum and dad and family and all of that sort of stuff, missus, but don't get the club into trouble. All right?
You don't have to worry about me.
Oh, sorry, actually, you and the producer from the show are saying don't get the radio station into trouble either. So you're not allowed to talk politics. You're not allowed to talk about anything personal. You're not allowed to give your own thoughts on anything. So basically, you might as well just sit there.
We're here to talk footy, aren't we?
Footy, yes, we can talk footy. So why don't we talk a little bit about your background? You spent a number of years as a junior at Penrith, but joined Parramatta in 2016.
I was at the Panthers since I was like 16, come up through their system and was fortunate enough to win an under-20s grand final, New South Wales Cup grand final. And
see how he just dropped that one in there?
Oh, yeah.
we're not talking about any mug here.
That
just sort of fell on the floor. Do you hear it go pump on the floor? Just went boom.
Yeah, build up to it.
Just this year I decided to make a change just to chase some opportunity at the Parramatta Eels and... There's a few issues going at the club, but...
yeah, what is that like? I mean, we were talking to Rowan Smith about that. Obviously, he was in the country at the time with the Titans, and obviously that all kicked off. But as a player there, has that affected the... what sort of impact has it had on the performance department?
I don't think too much. The boys at training, they were pretty sweet. Their spirits were, like, you know, were still high. A lot of the issues were out of their hands, so... Really, it wasn't for them to really worry too much about, but a few players bringing some issues upon themselves and putting more bad news on the club probably didn't do them any favours. And then obviously that kind of, followed onto the field. So, overall, the boys aren't too bad, but, it's not good for the club at the moment.
So back to yourself again. Where did you play as a junior back down under?
My junior club was the Windsor Wolves. And then through that, I got selected into the Panthers system and stayed in the system till just recently until I went to Parramatta.
So what age did they pick you up down there?
15, 16.
And what sort of things do you do at that age as a young junior?
They try to keep it quite professional. I mean, you know, they have your, you know, two strength and conditioning coaches. You train, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, depending on when you play. So from then on, like, they encouraged to take on that professionalism as an athlete.
I know the Panthers, that's in Western Sydney, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you're from that side, you're called, considered a Westie, so you wear black jumpers and there's a certain type of thing. Shane's laughing, I'm right, aren't I? Something like that, you're a Westie. Are you a Westie?
No, we're both Westies, mate.
You're both Westies?
Yeah, both Westies.
Oh, there we go. So a couple of Westies, because I'm from West Auckland, and we get given the same sort of tag, and actually very reflected, very reflective of the two cities. But the Panthers have an amazing setup. They've got a big, massive leagues club, which is like a casino for British people listening. And that feeds a lot of money into the junior system over there. It's an amazing setup, isn't it?
Yeah. What they have now is it's just ridiculous. The facilities that they have, the players who are coming through now are so fortunate to have that. It's second to none.
Yeah, I saw it on the footy show. They were doing a little bit of a piece on it, and they went around and just thought, now that's the measuring stick, isn't it? Would you argue that it's the best in the world of rugby league?
To be honest, they only moved in this year, so, and I was at Parramatta. Oh.
As soon as you moved out, they got the best of the stuff. Yeah. So where were you before they moved into the new facility then? Because as I understand it, it's out the back of the league's club still, though.
Yeah. So we were at the stadium. They had a gym under the stadium and a field just outside of the stadium. So we were just based there most of the time. The gym was, it was a good gym for what it was. It was quite small, but what they have now is just, it's just ridiculous.
I played, this is going back a few years. I played at Penrith Stadium, at Panthers Stadium. Ooh, I would have been 16 years of age. I was 16. Know why I know I was 16? Because I went out nightclubbing and I had Henry's passport or Henry's driver's license and he was 18. So that's how I got into it. Because they're quite strict over there, but it's still 18. And I played there, and we saw in the changing rooms, out the back of one of the changing rooms, underneath the main stand was where they had all the weights and everything. Now, for a kid coming from Te Aratu, where I come from, West Auckland, that was really impressive. But thinking back on it now, it was quite rough. So is that similar? Was that out the back? Was it still the same when you were there? Was it out the back of the changing rooms?
Yeah, still kind of same setup. It's probably gotten a little bit better over the years, but it's still quite old school where the changing rooms were. So
now, Leon, Robbo, you won't know, but Mossy is a British citizen. He's got a British passport. Come on, tell us a little bit about that. He's one of you guys. Forget the accent.
Sure. Yeah,
forget the accent.
We'll listen to
the story. Well, actually, I'm thinking. What Aussies do is they like to give nicknames, and they put O's on the end of everything. So, like, obviously, Leon would be Priso, but Robbo, you're Robbo. You're a closet Aussie.
Nah, give over, man. No chance. My grandma and granddad did nothing wrong getting sent over there.
Did yours? Hey, Mossy, what did your granddad do? What did he do? He stole a loaf of bread, didn't he? Robbo, you've got thoughts on that, haven't you?
Give over. No one gets sent half around the world for nicking a loaf of bread. Don't believe your grandma and granddad.
Murderers, and you did something bad. So come and tell us a little bit about that genealogy. You're from the as I understand it, one of your grandparents was from the north of England, or was your dad?
My grandparents, they came over with my dad and his sister when my dad was about 8 or 10 years old. They were from a village called Glossop out near Manchester. So I still have some like kind of distant relatives and family that I haven't really met yet from out there. Coming over here probably give me a chance to catch up with them, but dad, he sounds like he's a full-blown Aussie.
Is he?
Now, yeah.
So. That's what happens when the kids get, the accent can go.
Yeah, my nan and pop, they still have the northern accent. So kind of grew up, you know, hearing that all the time, watching Coronation Street.
Oh, so when we were talking about it, because I remember when I first came, I couldn't understand what anyone was saying, especially in the training environment where everyone's blowing and they're breathing hard. The accents just threw me. But you must be to it because your grandparents.
Yeah, not my grandparents. I have a lot of family friends that are from over here and that are northerners as well. So kind of used to it and makes it easier being around the boys at training.
Mate, 2 days into training, you must be looking forward to trying to get on the pitch and actually play some rugby league.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just keen to take this opportunity by the horns. The boys at Bradford, they're awesome. They're really welcoming. Makes the transition coming into a new environment, new country, everything a lot easier.
What about the halfback that they brought in, Lewis Charnock, he's only been in there a couple of days like yourself. Is he fitting in well?
Yeah, yeah. To be honest, if I didn't know he was from over St Helens, like, I wouldn't know, you know, at all. So, no, he's filled in really well. I think he knows a few of the boys just from being in footy and stuff. So, no, he's really good.
All right. Well, it's brilliant to have you with us here, Mossy. Shane as well, we're going to bring you in. Actually, we're going to take a little break right now. After the break, we'll be coming back and talking about all the hot topics going around in the sport of rugby league. All that and more after this break. So stay with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Big names and big story from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Kia ora, RHP here, and with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the little general, Luke Robinson, and Bulls' new boys, Karen Moss and Shane Nichols. Is it Shane Nichols? Oh, I got that. Nailed that, didn't I?
You've done well.
I've done well. Tonight, the Bradford Bulls have launched their charity Armed Forces shirt, supporting Armed Forces charity, Scotty's Little Soldiers, charity set up to support children and their families of fallen British soldiers. You can go to the Bradford Bulls website as we speak right now. There's a video that explains everything. We've got one of the shirts also, so we've got opportunity to win that. Just go on pond.co.uk and click on the win tab, and you can find out how you can pick that up. Okay, so we're coming on to the hottest topics in the sport of rugby league, and I think we can't move past, and I'm a massive Origin fan, and I know anyone that's a rugby league person, fan, supporter, enjoys watching Origin. It's considered the biggest game on the planet. I like to think about the internationals being the biggest games on the planet, but that's purely and simply because New Zealand rugby league is still number one. We're still up there, boys. Even that loss that we had against the Aussies this year, we're still number one. Anyway, so the State of Origin game, it was a physical affair. Not a lot of points scored. A lot of people come out and say it was quite drab. But quite interestingly, I think there's two important outcomes in that. Now, just letting everybody into account that both Shane and Mossy are both New South Wales supporters, and they're New South Wales men. Queensland won. So that's the most important thing. Leon nailed his flag to the New South Wales post. So we've got three losers in the room. Me and Robbo, Queensland is hard all the way through. Don't leave me hanging, Robbo. We know that we're the winners. The other one is Sam Thaiday. It's blowing up in the media, and I want to know from you guys. So that, look, after the game, he was interviewed by, I think it was Freddie Fittler was interviewing him pitch side, and asked him the question, you know, what do you think to that game? And he made this statement. He said, "Freddie, it's like losing your virginity. It wasn't nice, but we got the job done." That is class.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. So, yeah, brilliant. So the Aussie media at this point in time are blowing up about it. They're saying, "Oh, it was out of order. He needs to apologise. It wasn't fit." I mean, you got to admit, it was after the watershedding, so it was late at night. You know, it was after the game. The game kicked off at 7 o'clock Aussie time, so it wasn't until around about 9 o'clock that he actually said that. Robbo, I'm going to come to you. Leon, Robbo, I'm going to come to you guys first. What do you think about to the statement that he made?
Oh, look, well, even if we're before the watch, and there's nothing wrong with it, it's a funny joke. I think it's funny. Do you know what I mean? I think we live in a PC world among everything's, you know, you've got to be politically
crazy
correct
PC
about everything. It's a joke, do you know what I mean? It were making light of, actually, the game were rubbish. It were making light of it. That's all it were making. Like, it was basically where
the greatest rugby league game on the planet was rubbish. Well, the first one was rubbish.
Even he were making out, like, look, let's be fair, it wasn't the greatest, but we got the job done, do you know what I mean? I don't think, you know, but obviously I think it's a little bit, it's like being a premiership footballer over here. If you're Wayne Rooney, you cannot do anything without him jumping, and that's what it seems like in the NRL.
Leon, what are your thoughts on it? A bit like, to be honest, Leon, you've experienced this a little bit. When you came out with the famous Bondi Blackpool quote,
mm-hmm.
you got the full brunt of that Aussie media turning on you.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember someone saying that quote and the media jumping on it? Well, that was him. He was the guy that said it. He loves it.
And I still stand by it.
He stands by it.
I stand by it.
Hey, last weekend we were at the Summer Bash. Glorious summer day. It was 20 degrees. The sand was beautiful white. Gorgeous.
I love England. Remember, I love England.
I love Lamp. Leon, your thoughts on that? Has it been blown out of proportion or what?
When I listened to it, I just thought, ooh.
You're a father, Leon,
yeah,
you know?
I just thought, ooh, do you really need to say it? We get the picture, what a very good game. You know you're going to get hounded. You're a superstar, you're on national TV. just pick your words carefully, because you know it's just going to cause a lot of fuss that you don't need it. But is he bothered? No, so who cares? It doesn't harm anybody. It's not harmful, but it's just one of them things that you know that it's just going to be a big deal after, especially where Aussie media carry on like a set of crazy people. You know, they can't wait to pick on anything, can they?
No.
So there's no harm in what he said, but it's probably just one of them things that can't, you know, it's not worth it probably.
Well, let's go to the two Aussies that we've got in the house. What are your guys' reflection on that comment? So do you think it's out of order that he said that? Both of you have worked in the game back home. Do you think it's out of order? And equally as importantly, what is the Aussie media like when it comes to rugby league?
I've got to agree with Leon. I mean, like, yeah, it's a funny joke, but no, the Aussie media is just something like you can't even pick your nose without something, you know, tweeting about it or putting it in the media. So, yeah, it's a bit of a touchy thing, but yeah, just like Leon said, pick your words carefully.
Shano, because I can call you Shano now because you're an Aussie, so you just put a no on the end of it. Shano, obviously, as a strength and conditioning coach, it's not your job to be out the front making the statements, but you are in that environment all the time. So, have you seen players that you've worked with, performance departments that you've been in, and just gone, oh, shouldn't have said that?
Yeah, I have, mate, but a lot of the time it's blown out of proportion. I think the media just needs to loosen up a little bit, and, you know, I think they jump at the opportunity to promote anything, well, a lot of negative things rather than focus on the positive. So it is unfortunate a lot of the time for the boys, like working with them day to day when something unfortunate happens like that and it gets blown out of proportion, you do tend to feel for them a lot, yeah.
I tell you one thing though, once again, it's something that's been able to promote the sport into another stratosphere. That, as they say, no press was bad press. Just imagine, Leon, just imagine. Picture this. You're standing sideline. You've played in that game, which was a dour affair. You get the opportunity to make that statement, and you're wearing a Freak of Nature t-shirt.
No, I probably still wouldn't.
Global.
Say it. I know, but
viral.
It's just the attention after. I mean, when I said that about Blackpool, which I was quite serious about at the time, even though I said it tongue in cheek, I had people knocking up my door. I was saying at the Manly Pacific. The Channel 9 News were knocking on my door, mine and Gilly's room, at 5 o'clock in the morning, ringing my room door, ringing my phone in my room, trying to get an interview with us at 5 o'clock in the morning. The chasers from Manly over to the eastern suburbs where we were going to meet some presidential, I don't know what. The chasers in a car trying to film me back at coach. We went in there, we got out of the coach, we tried to take photographs of me, went inside, came back, went back to Manly, and they were still chasing us all the way around. I went training. They chased us to training. We came back from training on beach. It's just crazy. It's another world.
It is. You're right. But I'm going to hang on the first thing you said. You roomed with Gilly.
Of course I did. I'm only
did you get the night terrors?
Yes.
With that Gilly gets?
Yeah, spiders on his bed. Spiders! Ah, they're eating me.
I roomed with Gilly before the Challenge Cup final in 2003. I'm lying in bed asleep. This is 3 o'clock in the morning. This massive wrestle and scuffle goes on. Gilly's filling someone in on his bed at 3 a.m. He levitates. He didn't jump out of bed. He levitated out of bed magically without any energy to the bottom of the bed, walked, strutted across the front aggressively, ripped open the curtains. I looked out the window. I was holding the blanket under my nose, terrified. And I realized he was having a night terror. I pulled it down and went, Gilly, it's everything's okay. Go back to bed. He looked at me, spat on my bed, and went back to bed. I was petrified. I asked to be roomed with someone else the next day.
Well, I'm the only person who can kind of look after Gilly, kind of, I say, you know, because we're good friends. So it must have been about 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm asleep, and he says, ah! I went, what's up? And he's like, jumping on his bed, jumping around. I went, Gilly, what's up? He went, spiders everywhere, spiders are on me, spiders. I went, Gilly, you're having a nightmare. Just go, Gilly, please go back to sleep. You're okay, everything's okay.
Yeah, then he goes to sleep. It's like nothing happened.
No, he has no
idea what's going on in the morning.
Absolute maniac.
I slept, I didn't get any sleep the night before the grand final. I'm sleeping with one eye open, petrified.
Maniac.
Absolutely petrified. I'm glad you had a good game that day because I played like a monkey. All right, we're staying on the NRL. Now, the NRL are thinking of moving to extra time next season instead of going straight to Golden Point. So in the Super League, in the British game over here, if it's a draw at the end of the game, both teams walk away with a point. In the NRL, what happens is it goes to golden points. So the first team to score will win the game, and it just keeps on playing on and on. But there, I think in the reflection of the grand final last year, maybe they thought that it wasn't quite fair for the teams because went straight to golden point. We didn't really see a tussle in the Australian grand final, NRL grand final. What happened? North Queensland kicked the ball off. Ben Hunt dropped the ball on his own sticks, scrummed down, and in that prevailing set, Jonathan Thurston kicks a goal, but the drop goal. But actually, you probably could have got more of a game, more intensity, more drama, more jeopardy out of the game from a spectacle point of view. So just on that note, do you guys think that it's a good thing that they are going to that? Yes or no?
I like the way we play extra time over here. I think it turns into a game of rugby union. And all these some elements of rugby union I like. I don't like the fact it is just kick for a grand final,
you mean?
I just mean a golden point in general. I think you should play extra time. If you're going to play extra time, you either take a draw or it's full on extra time. I think as soon as you go into golden point, it just becomes a game of rugby union. Whoever's got the best kicker wins.
Mossy, the golden point's been down there for, I think, 3 years now. This is the third season that it's in. What impact has it had on the competition down there?
Yeah, I mean, you see teams like in the grand final last year, like the Broncos, they were the better team for 98% of that game. And then, you know, North Queensland just managed to, you know, equal it. And then by luck, you know, they managed to get a field goal. So,
Leon, what are your thoughts on that? Do you have a field goal or do you think it should go into overtime? Do you think it's a good idea to put this 5 minutes in?
Yeah, I like the idea of the overtime. Just like you said, a little bit more of excitement, a bit of jeopardy. Teams tested properly rather than just going for the field goal, which can be, like you say, can be over and done within 30 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, I think we're all out. I think a little bit of extra time, even if it's only 5 minutes, then go into 5 minutes each way and then go into a golden point just to, you know, draw a line under things. I think that might be the way forward. Okay, we're going to take another break. Coming up after the break, we're going to have a look at a couple of the big name players that are actually on the market at this point in time. And we'll also look forward to the upcoming games coming up this weekend. All that and more after the break.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, and we're continuing on with the hottest topics in the sport, and we'll also take a look at the hottest games of this coming up round. All right, tonight the Bulls have launched their Charity Armed Forces shirt. Supporting the Armed Forces charity, Scotty's Little Soldier. There is an Armed Forces game on 26th of June, just after Armed Forces Day on the 25th. It's an Armed Forces takeover. We've secured one of these shirts, and you've got the opportunity to win this. If you want to find out more about the whole charity and everything that's surrounding the day itself, just go on the Bradford Bulls website at bradfordbulls.co.uk, or to find out how to win, just go on pulse1.co.uk and click on the Win tab, and you'll be able to find that out. All right, boys, before we go any further, actually, I just want to pick up on what Mossy was saying in the break there. You were just saying that we were just talking about quickly the overtime and the golden point that happened in the NRL last year. And we were talking about the media exposure on rugby league players down in the NRL. And you were saying that when Ben Hunt dropped that catch, and to paint the picture properly, ladies and gentlemen, Ben Hunt is an international player, very high quality player, very, very, very highly rated. Also, he dropped the ball from the kickoff. And they ended up doing a 60-minute special just on that drop ball.
Yeah, you got a feel for him.
Oh, that's crazy.
I mean, you know, it's just a simple mistake, and he's going to have to live with that the rest of his life or rest of his career anyways.
The only way you really can recover from something like that is going on to win more silverware, going on to being the man and winning those silverware, or you forever will be known as a guy that dropped that catch. That game effectively. Where in the reality is, he didn't miss the tackles that allowed North Queensland to score the tries. He didn't play his part in that. He created tries throughout the whole game. He created opportunities for Brisbane. He was one of the players that game.
To put it into Bradford takes a lot of Nathan Graham, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, he dropped a couple of balls at Wembley and then, you know, feel so sorry for the bloke. Because obviously, when you're a young kid, you don't really appreciate it. Yeah. But if we put a bomb up in the park and someone dropped it, he's a Nathan Graham. That's why we're forever.
And I'm so happy you've brought that up, because obviously I was playing in that game. And the reality was, it wasn't Nathan's fault. Yeah. We put no pressure on Bobby Gilding, who was kicking the ball, so he had like a world of time to kick up all three of those bombs, and we put no protection around him. No one was running any of the players off. You know, very basic skills that every team has a responsibility of doing for their fullbacks. Now, Mossy, you're a fullback. Paint the picture properly for us. That's exactly what you expect from your players around you.
Yeah, you want the protection from your team, but at the end of the day, they expect you to take that catch. That's your job on the field.
But what I want to say, like you probably aren't familiar with those catches. When the ball's coming straight down on your head and you've got three guys coming at you in full sprint and they have the momentum, they're always going to out-jump you, aren't they?
Yeah, you just got to do your best.
You got to hope for the best.
Yeah, 100%.
But I think back in 1996...
96. You're about to say 1954 or something like that, weren't you?
I was 3 years old.
Oh, cheers, Mossy. Thanks, mate. That makes me feel brilliant.
The actual use of people, running people off the ball, protecting your fullback, putting quick pressure on, them kind of things aren't being brought into play.
They were part of our game.
Are you sure?
Brian Smith coached that. Yeah, I know. that's what's so hurting, because that was actually our tactics. But obviously that was the first year.
It is your fault, then.
It was the team's fault. Brian Smith had implemented that, but it wasn't the nature, it wasn't the culture of the sport at that time.
I appreciate you trying to spread the blame, but at the end of the day, if you're a fullback, catch the ball. Listen, just catch the ball. I don't care what happens. Right. I don't care how much pressure you're on. You get paid to catch high balls. You played at Wembley in a final. Catch the ball. When the ball goes up, and I'll try and run
it. No, stop it.
What?
You're 6'5".
I don't care.
When I play fullback,
I don't care.
I'm 4'3".
Robbie.
It's like me and Robbo trying to out-jump you. No chance. It's just the laws of physics.
No, but I'm just saying, like you said, one of them he dropped.
The first one, he should have caught it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So catch that one, because you're a fullback. That's your job. And I know it's hard, but that's what you expect of your fullbacks.
Well, yeah, you are right. And like you were saying, Mossy, try and figure out something. Yeah. Come up with a play.
Yeah.
Come up with a play. All right. Before we go any further, actually, I want to bring up this quickly. Who was it now? Sean Wayne. Sean Wayne is calling for a shot clock to come into the British game. Now, the shot clock is in the NRL. It's 30 seconds of time that's allotted for. If there's a knock on, the team with the ball in hand has to put the scrum down and feed the ball into the scrum within 30 seconds. If it's a dropout, the team dropping the ball out have to get the ball back into play within 30 seconds. Do you think it's a good thing for the British game?
Yeah, without a doubt. When you're on momentum and you're on the front foot and you can feel a side going, you can feel it. That's what it is as a player. You can feel it. You know that someone's going to drop down and pretend they're injured. You know they're going to accidentally throw it over kicker's head. So winger always throws it back to lad who's kicking it, generally Bruffy. Always goes flying over their head. It goes into the stands. Ball boy then kicks it over. It takes about 5 minutes.
You
do it on purpose. And I'll be honest, when I saw my team tired and fat lads were getting tired in middle, I can say it now over time, I inevitably got a bad ankle. Always got a bad ankle. And I had to wait until Magic Sponge came on to make it better.
And all of a sudden,
all about running again. But I do think there should be a time limit on it. It should speed the game up and stop all that.
Mossy, it's worked well down under, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. They're always looking at ways to make the game faster. They've reduced the interchanges that you can have. And with this shot clock now, it takes all that waste of time out and just makes everything faster.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in it as well. I think it just detracts from the game for the supporters, for the officials themselves. It gets a bit frustrating for the officials themselves, but equally as importantly as those two important stakeholders, the players themselves. I think it's frustrating to play in matches like that where the game just isn't fluid. I never really liked it, but like Robbo, and I'm retired as well, I used to game manage like that as well.
Me too. Well, I've got to do that now. I'm 36 or 37.
Anyway. You slow the game down for a different reason altogether.
I'm a dinosaur.
You're always slowing the game down, aren't you?
I think, Robert, a good point now that is, and I know the game's changing all the time and it's always evolving and trying to be made faster and what have you, but we've put the subs down and the game's getting faster, but eventually then we're going to end up with a fullback to the 13 being basically the same body type, the same speed, the same athleticism. Is it, do we not want to keep us a little bit unique? Because I think eventually, maybe in the next 10 to 15 years, we could end up with everybody being same body type, same kind of speed,
well, that was,
doing
that,
the same kind of jobs.
That was the argument when they were talking about reducing the interchange subs, wasn't it? Mm. That we get the Sam Cassianos, the Frank Pritchards, players as big as these guys will start to withdraw from the game just because they're having to play longer minutes and we weren't able to get the same type of value out of them.
I just think it's good to see a big guy and a little guy. It's good to see Rob Owen, a big Joe Vanganaro, who can take him on for footwork.
They terrorise each other in different ways.
It's different ways. Yeah, it's a little bit, it's boring, I think, seeing everybody the same body type, the same athleticism, tackling the same and running the same speeds. I think it gets a little bit mundane.
Well, I think that's something to come back to on a later show. Actually, before we go any further, I want to have a quick chat about the marketplace for rugby players at the moment. Some of the biggest names are actually being touted out there. Zach Hardacre, he's on the marketplace. As I saw reading in the trades this week, Morgan Escare, he's been looked to be shipped around as well. Two big names there. Mm. What do you think? Both of them back down under or what?
I'd be surprised if Morgan goes anywhere because he can't speak English. I played with him for 3 years. I never heard him say one word of English, and that's no lie. So I'll be surprised if he comes over to England. But he's too good a player to stay in France.
He is an excellent player. Do you think?
I think the bigger news is Zach Hardacre. Come on, reigning Man of Steel. Wants to leave Leeds Rhinos, who were the champion treble winners of last year. That's massive news.
It is. Huge. It is massive news, and I think we're going to see how that plays out over the next few weeks. Now, before. I think we need to have a look at the upcoming games this weekend. I don't think we can go any further than your game, Leon. Warrington at home to Hull FC. Obviously, you guys pipped them, I think, by 2 points at home. I think it was 26 points to 24 as a game. They had nothing in it. But obviously, you're on top of the table at this point in time. Warrington are biting at your heels. This has got to be the game. Robbo, how do you see this one going? I'm going to come to you, Leon.
I think this is a dress rehearsal for the grand final.
Big call.
I called it a couple of weeks ago with my mate. I think them two are going to be in grand final, personally. And I think it's going to be really good for Super League and really good for Rugby League if somebody else, you know, we had a bit of a dominance, haven't we, for certain clubs winning it over him. We're trying to emulate the NRL and different teams win it every year. And I think a different side winning it would be good. And I think it's going to be one of them two teams.
Leon, quickly, how you prep for it? Now, we haven't got much time left. Just give us a quick bite.
Yeah, we've got a full bill of health. We've got a very healthy squad, very confident squad. Not overconfident, but a lot of belief around. And I think we'll be more than up for the task.
All right, the challenge is there. Quickly, who's going to win? Catalan, Saints. Saints travelling to Catalan.
Catalan.
What do you reckon, Mossy?
I have to go with Catalans.
You got to go with Catalans because it's Australian international team. it basically is. All right, boys. Thank you very much for being here. Shane, Mossy, Leon.
No worries.
Always, Robbo, Jake the Mus, Ewan also. Total Access is next here. Enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul. Thanks again.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.